What's going on, Blackest family? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. I am your host, Brother Malcolm, and we have Sister Casey Layman, head Negress in charge. She's just making appearances these few weeks, and that's fine because we love a guest and we love a...
I just want to make it clear that this is all Malcolm's decision. I'm not asking. I'm not Brodying.
This is true. I'm becoming insecure. I can't do it by myself. I'm so scared. We were just talking about an interview that Terrence Howard did recently about his time working on the new Lee Daniels film called The Butler, in which I guess they're married? Or I don't know. I don't know what the scenario is, but he talks about, is it a sex scene?
Yeah, no. He has a love scene.
Love scene with Oprah Winfrey talking about, I love being in bed with Oprah and her tickle bitties. I mean, oops, did I say that? Her voluptuous. I'm like, whoa. And we were trying to discuss if that was inappropriate. You know, it's very interesting because on one hand, you know, I'm a person who believes that, you know, like Oprah is 50-something. Oh, shoot. I just got handed a picture of Oprah. Oh, okay. Oprah is looking, she's giving those come hither eyes, that open mouth, and holding that cigarette. Oprah's trying to come back on that acting career.
Yes. Yes.
She wants people to forget about Harpo.
Yes.
And can remember her tiggo bitty. And Terrence Howard over here lusting after her. But this is okay.
Yeah.
I'm mad. Lest we forget, that's makeup, though. But I didn't say that. I'm just playing. No. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
But what you said, we kind of started talking about whether or not this was disrespectful. And at first thought, just like you, my initial reaction, because Oprah is in her 50s, we do look to her not as an she's not like Maya Angelou elder, but she is an elder. She's a tastemaker. She's paved the way for
a lot of
people.
She really has. But you know what it is? Oprah has allowed people to call her Oprah, right? Like, I remember when some young kids was on her show and they weren't calling her Miss Winfrey. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I know she's a brand, but I feel like there was like one, like, I remember there's a few kids in the time that she was doing the Oprah Winfrey show that would say Miss Winfrey. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, I think she's allowed that to happen. And, you know, honestly, who am I to stop her from getting her groove back? Maybe she want to be looked at in that way. Or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, she's... I mean, he was also being... If you watch the video, and maybe we'll put the link to the...
Yes, we will.
The video. We will put the link to the video. You know, he was... I mean, he was doing an interview and was candid. And actually, it was kind of...
It was cute.
It was kind of endearing. I was like, oh, Terrence looked like he got a little crush. Got a little crush on O. O had him turned out.
Okay.
Out. Because he had a smile and a chuckle that came with that Tigo comment.
Okay. I want to see the movie now.
Maybe that's the point. What else is going on in the world of culture? We were just talking about Alvin Ailey is coming to the Music Center of Los Angeles.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't know, Alvin Ailey is the premier American dance company. They're actually considered like ambassadors to the world of culture.
Yes.
From America. And they make I don't know if it's annual. I think it is annual. It's either they're either in Orange County or they're in Los Angeles, but there's an annual pilgrimage to the Southern California area. So
will they be this year?
They're going to be at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion.
Yes.
I think it's April 17th through the 21st. That is what it is. And we were just talking about getting tickets or whatnot. I first saw Alvin Ailey when I was a college student at UC Berkeley, and they're inspiring. Their work is moving. Their skill is extraordinary, and the legacy that Alvin Ailey, the founder and obviously namesake of the company, his legacy is it's living on for generations past him and decades to come. I mean, they have a beautiful facility in New York, and they tour annually, and they have the major company, and then they have Ailey 2, which is their secondary company that travels the world. And if you have never seen them, I just would encourage you to see it. I mean, there's nothing like hearing doom 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 doom. Sister Casey, what am I talking about?
Is that Judith Jameson's famous dance?
You think about Cry.
Yes.
No, that's not Cry.
It's not the last one.
Revelations.
That's Revelation?
Yes, Wade in the Water.
It starts, whoa, but it starts with the...
No, but that was... No, I moved on to the second movement. See, I went to Wade in the Water.
I was...
Oh, she's at... Ooh, she's doing the wings.
Yes.
I've been built and I've been scored.
It is beautiful.
I love the Negro spiritual. But let me tell you, I mean, the only reason why I'm making fun of it that way is because, one, once you become an Alvin Ailey addict fan, you know Revelations like the back of your hand.
Yeah,
because
it's a beautiful
It is their signature piece, and it is it is truly a signature piece of art of American artistry.
Yes.
Revelations, you can go around the world, and people who are fans of dance, they know Revelations. It's a piece that Alvin Ailey made. It's about, you know, he's from Texas and lived in L.A. for quite a bit of time. A lot of people don't know that, but Alvin Ailey spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. And it's sort of a piece about his roots in Texas, and it's there's three movements. It's lots of fun, and I would encourage you, if Alvin Ailey is in your town. I mean, Alvin Ailey is so popular that I was on Instagram the other day, and Chad Ochocinco had them all his backstage antics on there, because when Alvin Ailey is in town, you go and you see them.
Yeah.
They're just an incredible company, and if you didn't know, the company is, I would say, 95-98% African-American, so... if not 99%. The movements of Revelation divide into three sections: Pilgrims of Sorrow, Take Me to the Water, which is what I was saying, Wade in the Water, and Move, Members Move. And each is a different section of the black existence. In the South, I mean, the first part is amazing. My favorite pas de deux is in the Pilgrim of Sorrow, and it's Fix Me Jesus. And Fix Me Jesus is a duet that conveys like the strength of faith between a woman and her minister through a subtle unfolding of leaning, balance, and leg extensions that speak of trust and conviction and belief. And it's my favorite pas de deux, a dance. If you don't know pas de deux is a dance for two. And it's stunningly, the song is Fix Me Jesus, and it's sung by a man and a woman, and it's just beautiful. The music is spiritual, Negro spirituals, and it's not original. This is all music that was around when he was choreographing. So this is all, you know, music that you can hear
in churches,
and I mean, Wade in the Water is definitely
It's a classic.
And Rockin' My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham, and then Cinnamon, Where You're Gonna Want Run To. That trio is amazing with the three men who are just showcasing their pure athletic dance ability. It's amazing.
It isn't.
So go out and see Alvin Ailey.
Will you talk about Cry real quick?
Cry. This is the piece that made Judith Jameson, who was the recently retired artistic director emeritus, and was a muse of Alvin Ailey's. In 1979, Judith Jameson, who is really, she is Alvin Ailey as much as Alvin Ailey is. I mean, she ran the company for so many years and just recently retired, like I said. But also, she became the image that you thought of when you saw Cry, which is this amazing 16-minute dance that Alvin Ailey choreographed as a present to his mother, Lula Cooper. And later... dedicated to all black women everywhere. And it's amazing because the solo is very intense and physically extremely demanding and draining to perform. And it's about the journey of a woman coming out of a troubled and painful world and finding strength to overcome and conquer. And the piece itself it receives standing ovations all over the world. I mean, it's one of those pieces that, one, because of it's so beautifully choreographed, but when you find out the history behind it, when you realize that Judith Jameson became well-known and popular because of that piece, and this celebrating black women through this art form of dance, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, and the sheer energy of the dance,
mm-hmm.
because the dancer who performed Cry last time I saw Alvin Ailey, which I think now was probably a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we got on our feet for her when she was done
because
she exerted so much energy, and for so long. You said the dance is like
16 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a long time for those people who don't know how to dance or don't. Try just dancing full out for 16 minutes
and straight.
Not just
no cool
just
downs.
Like, not two stepping. I'm talking like lifting your legs and you know, reaching and grabbing and leaping and twirling and pointing your toes. It's all very, very, very
intense.
It is intense, but that's why we love Alvin Ailey. And one of the things that there's a piece that they did back, and they haven't done it in years. It's called Slaves, and it basically was a journey of, American slaves from the coast of the Ivory Coast of West Africa to America. And it's a piece that will stay with me for the rest of my life. And I remember being, I was a sophomore or junior in college, saw the piece. I was weeping in the back of the house because there was such a visceral connection to what was happening on stage with these dancers and just your ancestors. And, you know, there's something, that's what I love about artistry and art is that whether it be visual, music, drama, or dance, it has an ability to transport you and absolutely connect with you, whether it's through the historical story it's telling or the present circumstances that it's conveying. Mm-hmm. It has an ability to affect you in a way that sometimes I don't think film or television can do. So partly because you're there in that moment with those artists while they are creating that moment for you and it wasn't recorded.
Do they ever perform that ballet again, like, or that Slaves? I would love to see that.
Slaves was amazing.
That sounds so powerful.
I would actually encourage you to go to alvinailey.org, I believe, alvinailey.org, and just look at their repertoire. Their repertoire is stunningly long, and they have quite a breadth of work. And, you know, when they were doing that, that was when they were really doing what I would call dance theater. I mean, they're called the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. And it's weird because recently, I mean, I would say the past 7 to 10 years, it just feels like they have done less dance theater and it's more dance. And Slaves was such a dance theater piece. They also did this piece of De Bahia. It was sort of like Caribbean folklore. Do this tribute to Charlie Parker. I think it's called, they have a Otis Redding suite called A Suite to Otis.
I feel like I've seen these. Because like the one with Charlie Parker, are they like in a jazz?
I think it's called To Bird With Love.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
They're amazing, right? Because they tell full-on stories.
They do.
So that's when I'm happiest, when they're telling their stories. And that's what Revelations is. It's a story of a people over a period of time, and that's why you have these three movements. So anyway, I feel like I've talked forever about Alvin Ailey. Just go get you some Ailey in your life, and you will not be disappointed.
Not at all.
You know what I want to talk about? Actually, I just saw this new show called Blackboard Wars on OWN Network, and it's about
The school.
John McDonough school in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Ooh.
Where the kids are just coming to school and getting shot.
I don't know. I just started, but these kids are just underperforming. It's a charter school, and the principal, I think his name is Dr. Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
He is. I just saw him on Tavis Smiley, and he's not even 40. He's in his mid-30s, and he's been hired to take over and transform this school. And I've only seen one episode, but that episode was so amazing. Partly because it was interesting to see that, I mean, obviously it's television, but it was very interesting to see on this episode, they focused on a lot of the white female teachers who they kind of looked like they were in over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And almost looked like they were like, teach for America. And they're like, I'm going to go teach in the inner cities and I'm going to make a difference. And they saw how hood it was, how these kids fight and they don't care that you're there.
And got scared.
Two of them got smacked in the face. One of them, she's the cheer teacher. She's a cheer coach. And, you know, in the episode, the kids call. It's a rainy day. The football players get a bus and get on the bus. And the cheerleaders are there by themselves and they call her. And she's like, what? And so she comes down and she's getting ready to take them. And all of a sudden they have this altercation where she's like, do you guys want to go? She was like, I don't have to come down here. You know, I'm here because I care about you, blah, 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 blah. And so then she starts crying. And then she asks them to write on a piece of paper, you know, she's going to go out the room and write what they feel, if they want her here, there or not, to be their coach. And she comes back and they've all written that they want her to stay. And I was like, whoa.
Dramatic.
It felt a little dramatic. But then I was just like, I can't imagine a teacher like breaking down in front of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know if they're trying to do this on purpose, but it just seemed interesting that all the people who were breaking down were white women.
Mm.
You know, and they would be in a staff meeting, and all the black people teachers are looking at them like, are you kidding me? And the principal said, you know, when I first took this job, I counted that 10% of you guys would not be able to handle this, and you would leave, and you would quit. So either, it sounded like he was like, straighten out your spine and get it together because this is not going to be easy. We're trying to transform a school that's not performing well, these kids and their issues. I mean, also in the episode, there was this young lady who is doing very well but doesn't want to go home because I guess she's starting to have a lifestyle. She's starting to, her friends are bisexual and her mom doesn't agree with that lifestyle. And she's like, I'd rather go to jail for not coming home, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, the principal at the end, he was like, I would do that over 3 times if it means I'm going to save her life. And I'm like, wow, that's a dedication that things take. I guess it takes an education now. But I'm just curious what you what your thoughts are about, one, this reality TV show existing. And it's on OWN Network. So I have to believe that if it's on OWN, they, you know, it's quality programming in the sense that they want to shed light on the deficiencies in American education and New Orleans. I mean, there's so many complicated layers that are kind of frustrating.
I think it's good. Like, I haven't watched an entire episode because I don't know if I'm ready for the level of intensity. Not that I couldn't handle it, but I work so close to kids that are not necessarily in that bad of a predicament. But give a couple of changes in circumstance, it could get that serious.
I mean, I watched a straight up fight, and the dude, the chemistry teacher tried to break it up. I mean, this dude socked him. A tooth flew out. I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah. And maybe it's because I haven't been to school in a minute, but I was like, oh, it got grimy quick.
I know with the clip that I did see, it was like 4 or 5 kids who were showing where they got shot. But I have been listening to, they do a piece of it, a segment of it on KCRW. And they were talking to one of the young men who attends that school. And he was saying how it was a girl, not a girlfriend, but a friend of his who he had grown up with. And she said they all, the woman who was narrating said that so many of the kids don't expect to get out of high school alive. It's kind of terrible.
Really, really sad.
Yeah. And so for this particular friend of his, she was killed while he was standing next to her, talking to her. And somebody came up and shot her. And then they started talking about another young man who died and how he was just one, I guess, one of the more popular guys, maybe somebody that the other kids looked up to. And it, like, even the hardest young men on this campus, just at the thought of what happened to him, would just break down and crying. So they started this gang. I can't remember what his name was, but let's say his initials were TG. They started a gang called TGC, and it was like, you know, whatever TG, his name is.
Click.
Yeah, you know, something, something crew. But then they changed it into something else, and now this is a real gang. And it was all started and inspired because they lost this one guy. It just sounds like such a volatile environment for kids to be coming up in, especially when you have it intertwined with education. Who's going to learn in all of that drama?
Well, that's one of the things that they were saying is that they're spending so much time disciplining that that education is not happening.
Yes.
And the teachers sounded very frustrated. And one of the things that in this episode that I watched is they realized that they needed hall deans or hall monitors who that's all they do is get kids in class and they try and figure out what's going on. The episode I saw was Baptism by Fire, by the way.
Okay.
And you can actually go online. I guess you can see some of the episodes.
Yeah, you're going to make me start watching it.
The reason why I started watching one was because of the Tavis Smiley interview, but also one of our first culture, our inaugural cultural jewel, Ren T. Brown, is the voiceover host of the show.
Oh, okay.
So you hear his voice at the top and end of the show.
Okay.
And it's wow, it's really, really intense. But I think because it's television and it's on OWN, I feel like a very positive ending coming, you know, like some positivity coming toward the end of this series. So,
hope so.
I would encourage people to watch it.
Otherwise, we're exploiting. So let's help.
Exactly. One of the other things I'm excited about is, like, for me, summer can't come soon because I was born in the summer. Sister KC is a spring baby. We need sun and light. It's like, I need some events to go to. I need some concerts.
Yes.
Some outdoor festivals.
Yes.
To see some sun dresses. It does anything Brother Malcolm loves on a beautiful woman. is a sundress. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! My God, the sundresses. They came out the other day when it was like 80. I was like, uh-oh, it's early. I'm not ready for it. Not ready for it. Then want to thank everybody for joining us this week. You know, we don't always have something serious. Sometimes it's just the order of the day. But thank you for connecting with us. You can reach us, obviously, on blackisonline.com. Please support all our other endeavors, whether it's the 15-minute break, the Brothers Layman Happy Hour, or anything else we have going on the website. You can reach me on Twitter at Cali Yaley, CaliYaleE. And we really look forward to hearing from you all. Let us know what you think. And if you have any topic that you want us to discuss, and we'll try and get it in the line. We've got a lineup of things that we're talking about in the next few months. But please send us your suggestions, and we will try and fit them in. And as always, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And on that note, have a wonderful week. Peace.